My brothers and sisters in the Lord, as we continue our Advent journey, as we continue to journey closer and closer to Christmas, to the celebration of the Feast of the Nativity of the Lord, I was contemplating last night of the many different things that were part of my family tradition. Things that as a little boy, we always did in preparation for the coming of the King, for the celebration of Christmas. And many of those things involved my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, and I called her Nona, Cecilia. And so one of the things that we did every year before Christmas is we had to go to the grocery store to buy all the items to bake the Italian cookies, the seed cakes, the fig cakes, the dead men's bones. I always wondered why they call it that. But we had to prepare. And back in my day, we went to Schwegmans. Ain't there no more, but that's where we went. And yes, my friends, we made groceries, we didn't buy them. So that was part of our preparation. Another thing that was part of the preparation is that each year, Nona would take me to Maison Blanche because we had to get the latest stuffed doll of Mr. Bingle that came out for that particular year. And then certainly there was the preparation of the tree. And so we would go up into the attic and down from the attic, and into the attic and down from the attic, and into the attic and down from the attic, getting all the lights and things together. But of all the things that we did, one thing that my grandmother always taught, and she always held it as important, was this. She said that no matter where you went shopping in order to buy gifts and presents for those you love, it was always important that you spent some time making a gift from scratch, a homemade gift. And so I remember as a little boy, we made ornaments, we made coffee mugs that dripped when you put something in it. We made all these different things. But you see, for my grandmother, it was important because, yes, you could go and buy all these gifts and presents, but there was something important about putting your time and your effort and your love into creating something for someone else whom you loved in return. There was a special gift in that. You see, my brothers and sisters, I give you that imagery because today the church celebrates the feast day, the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of our Blessed Mother. And you see, my brothers and sisters, Mary is God's gift to us. Mary is a masterpiece of God's creation, and she is a masterpiece of God's mercy. Because you see, my brothers and sisters, the Lord did not go to the heavenly Dollar Tree to buy Mary. He didn't go to Super Saturday at Macy's. He didn't kick it up a notch and go to Saks Fifth Avenue and Bloomingdale's and Neiman Marcus. He fashioned our Blessed Mother. He created her out of love to be a masterpiece of mercy so that through her, divine mercy would enter into the world so that through her, preserved from every stain of original sin, she would become a worthy dwelling so that the Word could become flesh and make his dwelling amongst us. You see, my friends, God created our Blessed Mother as that masterpiece and as that gift for you and for me, and for all people of all times, so that a Savior may be born. And certainly, my brothers and sisters, we celebrate the opening of the great Jubilee Year of Mercy, And sometimes we may wonder, why did the Holy Father pick the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception for the opening of this holy year? Was it just by chance? Did it just seem like a good day? Did he look at the calendar and go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo? There's a reason, my friends. And one of them is this. Because Mary is a masterpiece of God's mercy by her Immaculate Conception. The divide between man and God had to be filled. It had to be reconciled. And out of mercy, he created Mary without a stain of sin, so that through her virgin womb, the Word would become flesh. That's why she is a masterpiece of God's mercy. Another reason is because she is the mother of God. She was conceived without sin, but she also gave her yes, her fiat. As we pray the rosary, what do we pray at the end? Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy. Mary is the mother of mercy because she is the mother of God. That the Word becomes flesh. During this time, my brothers and sisters, we are all also celebrating the 150th anniversary of the painting of the icon of Our Lady of Perpetual Help, which is found in Rome. And we have a great devotion to Our Lady of Perpetual Help here at St. Peniel. And if you look at the image, it's the image of the mother and the child. And there's a wonderful pious tradition about the image. Very simply, it goes like this. One day when the child Jesus or the boy Jesus was walking along, two angels, Michael and Gabriel, appeared to him, holding the instruments of the Passion. And when he saw them, he was startled, and he jumped into the arms of his mother, hence the broken sandal, showing the movement of Jesus moving into the arms of Mary. And notice Mary's arms. One is supporting him, and one is holding his hand close to her chest. But look at the eyes of the Lord Jesus. Even as he's being held by his mother, he's looking at Gabriel holding the cross, knowing that he was going to do his father's will. You see, my friends, Mary is the mother of mercy, Our Lady of Perpetual Help, and the various titles that she holds. She too holds us and supports us. And she is also, my friends, the mother of mercy because she is the perfect disciple. And she teaches us how to faithfully follow in the footsteps of her son. St. Faustina writes in her diary that Mary was her instructor. Mary was her instructor in order to follow faithfully in the footsteps of Jesus. Go back to the wedding feast at Cana. What does Mary say to the stewards? Do whatever he tells you. And Mary teaches us and shows us how to do that. And finally, my friends, Mary is the mother of mercy because she still intercedes for us in heaven. She is the great intercessor. And it's very interesting, my brothers and sisters, if you know anything about ancient Jewish history, you know that the king of Israel many times had more than one wife. And so actually, the person who was closest to the king and running the kingdom was not any of the wives. It was who they called the great lady. It was the queen mother. You see, my friends, Mary is the queen mother. She still intercedes for us before her son. And a powerful intercessor that she is. That is why, my friends, we open this great jubilee year of God's mercy on this great feast day of Our Lady, asking for her intercession, asking the Lord and seeking out His forgiveness, and going out into our families and friends and community and workplaces, places of learning, whatever it may be, and extending the Lord's mercy to those around us. Mary teaches us how to be able to say, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word." I close reading to you a brief passage. It's taken from the feast day of the Presentation of our Blessed Mother, which we celebrated not long ago. This is actually taken from the Byzantine liturgy, but I think it's very beautiful. And I quote, "When Anne, which means grace, was graced with the pure and ever virgin Mary, she presented her into the temple of God. She called maidens to carry candles and walk before her as she said, 'O child, go and be an offering and a fragrant incense for the one who sent you to me. Enter into the veiled places and learn the mysteries of God. Prepare yourself to be a delightful dwelling place for Jesus, who will give great mercy to the world.'" My friends, may we too be a fragrant offering. May we prepare our hearts so that Jesus may take up residence within each of us, so that we may be instruments of God's mercy to the world. Let it be done unto me according to thy word.